Welcome to Care Partner Conversations, the source for all the dementia-related topics, tools, and news that are relevant to all of us as care partners and caregivers, especially those caring for someone with Alzheimer's or related dementia. I'm your host and your care partner coach, JT Hunter. Thank you for joining us today. My guest today, Jay Marks, is a certified dementia practitioner and caregiver consultant. She's been working in dementia care, working with caregivers, since 2001. She was the executive director of the West Virginia chapter of the Alzheimer's Association for 12 and a half years. She is a well-known speaker, speaking nationally across the world at different conferences, and also a published author of multiple training curriculum on aging and caregiver issues. In addition, she also has a website called sandwichcaring.com, on which she not only shares her own caregiver story, but she also provides some tips and strategies for caregivers. Jane is also currently serving as the AARP West Virginia State Volunteer President. Jane, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, JT. It's great to be here. You know, I always like talking about caregiving issues.
Absolutely. Now, Jane, we just mentioned your website, Sandwich Caring, and I know you have a very interesting philosophy about what sandwich caring means. Can you please share that with our viewers?
Sure. And, you know, people ask me all the time, do you own a restaurant? Do you have a sandwich shop? And the answer is no. But years ago when I first started working with caregivers, a popular phrase was the sandwich generation. And that was, you know, in the early 2000s, that phrase was actually coined back in the 80s, actually, by a social worker. And, of course, she was referring to that generation of folks that find themselves maybe having to care for aging parents while they still have kids at home and are caring for kids. And I even did a workshop on the sandwich generation. But after a couple of years of working with caregivers, what I realized was it wasn't about your age and it wasn't about a generation. It doesn't matter if you're the 83-year-old spouse or the 47-year-old daughter, or the 19-year-old grandson. If you are a caregiver, you are sandwiched. You are sitting right between the needs of that person for whom you care, their health, their well-being, their happiness, and your own needs and health and well-being and your job and your other family members and your hobbies, and you're just kind of stuck there. And if you look up the synonyms, you know, the words that mean the same thing for sandwiched, those words are crammed, jammed, smashed, stuffed. And that's pretty much where caregivers find themselves, trying to find the balance between those two things. So that's when I came up with sandwich caring.
Well, I love it, and it makes so much sense. And how many of us out there can relate to that definition? So let me ask you, Jane, the new caregiver, trying to come to terms with the new reality and at the same time trying to find that reliable and accurate information, navigating their way through the long-term care or healthcare systems, along the way trying to schedule and coordinate these appointments. They're hearing all kinds of different terms and language along the way that is totally new and foreign to us. And getting a lot of the different opinions from all kinds of different angles and don't know where to start or where to turn for help. Jane, for the new caregiver out there going through these things, what would you suggest be the first step?
Well, probably the first step is stop a minute and take a deep breath, because you've just usually been smacked in the head with this task of being a caregiver. You know, sometimes you can plan ahead and you might think, oh, someday I may have to be caregivers for my aging parents. But often you become a caregiver because there was an accident or a diagnosis or something has happened, and it kind of comes on you fast. And every situation is different. So to find that list of exact things that you should do in every situation may be difficult to find. I was actually pleased I saw your show last time that you had Kat McConnell on, because that would be one of the first things I would suggest brand new caregivers do, is find out where the important documents are, where they're kept, if the person even has them. Does the person have a will? Is there an insurance policy? Right. You know, do they already have a living will? Those sorts of things. And, of course, Kat's a great resource. But it's also good that someone is doing what you're doing, being a coach, because it really is sometimes a whole new ball game for a brand new caregiver, and I'm, forgive me if this sounds sexist. Most women, can relate to this. But imagine if you walked onto a football field and you knew nothing. You had never seen a football game. You'd never seen a football field, and you walk out there, and you're plopped there in the middle of that field and told, okay, now you got to play. You don't know what those white lines mean. You don't know who those guys with the black and white striped shirts are. Somebody hands you this ball, and it's shaped kind of funny, and what are you supposed to do with it? Do you bounce it? Do you bat at it? Do you kick it? What do you do with it? And then there are all these new terms, in long-term care world or caregiver world, it might be PASS, POA, those sorts of things, DNR. In football, it's offsides and holding and, even touchdown. Right. You don't know what that is. And somebody says, okay, now you're a linebacker. And you go, well, what line am I backing? How do I do this? And that's where a coach comes in. That's where a coach comes in to say, okay, here's how you play this game. Here's what these terms mean. Here's a game plan. And that's where, what I have done for many years, and I do it part-time now, but that's what you are doing, is you can help folks develop that game plan. So if people can reach out and find someone that can help them with the game plan, like calling you, it's going to be helpful. Now, there are some websites that you can get on. AARP happens to have a great one that can help if you don't have a person. But that's the other thing that I would suggest, is stop and do a little bit of research so you can figure out the terms and the rules of the game once you looked for those important documents and found out what those are. Those are my first couple of steps.
Okay. Now, Jane, I want to, as we're talking about the term coach and how important and helpful the coach can be along this journey, I want to circle back, because we know, you and I know from walking our journeys and working with caregivers, but for those that don't know or are new to this, let's go back, because coaching is deeper than just giving you plays, right? Coaches, it's deeper than just teaching. Coaches, in a way, and I use this analogy a lot, sometimes they're also the cheerleaders, right?
Exactly. And, sometimes you don't need the coach to explain the rules of the game. You need the cheerleaders, or you need the emotional coaching. In my situation, which some folks know and some people can read on my website, I already worked in the game. I knew the terminology.
Right.
I knew some of the plays. I knew some of the things to do. What happened when I became a family caregiver was I needed that emotional coach. And I will have to say that my sister was able to fill that role for me. My kids did as well, and my husband. My sister was great, of course, because it was our mother that I was overseeing the care. My sister couldn't really do it because she lived far away. But, for all the differences and issues that sisters might have, my sister was there for me. She didn't care when I called sometimes, and she would let me just vent and say, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Do you know what mother said to me today? And she never shut me out. She always said, but you're trying so hard and you're doing a great job. And I'm so glad that you're there doing that. And, you're helping to keep mother healthy. And again, if you don't have that family member, maybe there's a friend. But you're right. That's the other place that a coach can be helpful.
Right.
Even if you know the rules of the game, there's that cheerleading aspect. Mm-hmm. Because it's really hard to be a caregiver all by yourself. And again, absolutely, I don't necessarily mean, although it's great if you have someone to help you with the actual task, mm-hmm, but it's also good if you have someone who's there to pat you on the back, to give you that extra boost that you are doing your best, and that is a cheerleader for you.
Right. Now, absolutely. And one thing I must say as a care partner coach, as we're coaching especially new caregivers, I must share that it's very common for caregivers to feel stressed out at times. And you hear this a lot from all the people around us. You've got to take care of yourself and take a break. Now, of course, those people mean well. But let's face it, it's so much easier said than done, right?
It's so much easier said than done. Oh. I say it to caregivers all the time. And then when I became a family caregiver, I did all the things that I had told other caregivers not to do. That first autumn when my mother, you know, finally fell and broke her hip. I mean, she'd been diagnosed with Parkinson's and had a bit of dementia related to the Parkinson's. But we'd been doing okay, and we had some people coming into her home helping her several hours a day, and then she fell and broke her hip. And that autumn, I canceled my regular physical that I had scheduled. I canceled my dentist appointment. I canceled my eye doctor appointment. Yeah, I didn't have time for that. I had tasks to be done. Mother's care was right in front of me. And I can't stress enough to caregivers how crucial caring for yourself is. If you've been a caregiver for more than 5 minutes, you've already heard that story about the oxygen masks on airplanes, that when the airplane cabin loses pressure and those oxygen masks plop down, you are supposed to put your mask on first before you then turn to the child or the person beside you that you might be with. You know, put your mask on first. And caregivers feel guilty and feel that they're being selfish. But, yeah, you're right. I can't stress that enough. For the brand-new caregiver, keep something for yourself. Keep care of yourself. Because, as I said, when you're sandwiched right there, what often happens is you just turn to only see to the needs of that person for whom you're caring. And certainly they do need that care, or you wouldn't be in this position. You've got to turn and take care of you too. You know, again, as the longer you do this, you come up with new examples and ideas. And I realized a couple of years ago, you know, caregiver and the person for whom they care are like two halves of a whole. Mm-hmm. Now a duo. And certainly if one half is not doing well, if one half is dragging, if one half is exhausted, the other half is not going to get the care they need. Right. And it's not going to do as well either. So it is so important. You know, I had the distinct privilege of going to the United Kingdom several years ago. I think it was in 2006. Mm-hmm. And work with a woman and do some training with a woman named Penny Garner, who's a fabulous caregiver consultant, if you will. She focuses only on families who have a loved one with Alzheimer's. But one of the things Penny does when she agrees to work with these families is they have to sign a contract.
Okay.
Of course, you might expect that a contract would state what she would do.
Right.
It might state her fee. Mm-hmm. But what was fascinating to me was in that contract, there was a section for the family member, the caregiver, on what the caregiver would do. And the first thing that was listed for the caregiver to do was they had to either keep or start doing something just for themselves. So, for instance, if the husband normally played golf once a week with his buddies, he was to still contract that he would keep doing that. Okay. If someone sang in the church choir and they enjoyed doing that, they had to put in the contract that they would continue doing that. And if they didn't have anything just for themselves, Penny required that they find something and it went in the contract. It might be, I'm going to take a yoga class, or I'm going to start singing in the church choir because I've always thought that would be fun. So along with the myriad of tasks they had to do as caregivers, Penny wanted to stress how important it was that they keep something for themselves, something that they enjoyed. And that has stuck with me. But by golly, she put it in a contract. That's how important she thought it was.
Well, absolutely. And you and I both, I'm sure, have witnessed, I know from experience when I was very green and new at this, I got to observe some support groups. And I remember the facilitator at the time saying, basically, here's your ticket out of the group today, is to tell us something you're going to do for yourself this month.
And
I was fascinated at times, or maybe intrigued is a better word, at that sounds so simple. And sometimes that was a real struggle for the caregiver to not only think of it, but then I have the right to try this. That always stuck with me.
Exactly. You know, that we share this great, but
it's hard to do.
You spend the whole support group talking about, my husband did this, or the doctor said that, and to end it with, okay, tell us what you, as a caregiver, are going to do for you this next week or this next month. Again, stresses how important that is.
Absolutely. So clearly this is not an easy task. We have to be honest, and there is just no way we can absolutely be prepared for everything that may come our way.
No, we can't. I wish that you and I could wave the magic wand or come up with that very specific playbook that works in every situation, but that's probably impossible. I have another analogy.
Yes.
Because this is going to be harder than you think it's going to be.
Absolutely.
And I don't say that to scare people off.
Right.
But I think it helps to be prepared. So I came up with this analogy when I was talking with a childhood friend of mine who had decided that he was going to climb Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa for a very significant birthday. He'd always wanted to do it. He loved that story. You know, it's an Ernest Hemingway story. And he'd seen the movie, and he was going to climb Mount Kilimanjaro to celebrate the significant birthday. But he didn't just get on the plane and go to Kilimanjaro. He started doing some research. He watched videos. He read books. He talked with others who had climbed Kilimanjaro. He started to train. He lives in the Smoky Mountains, and he started to walk up the mountains. regularly to sort of start conditioning himself. He even went to his doctor. To make sure that he was, you know, medically okay to go try to climb Mount Kilimanjaro.
Right.
And then what he said was, then when he got on the mountain, and of course he had hired guides, you know, there who were experts in taking people up Kilimanjaro. But when he got there, he said, all that training, all that reading, all that preparation, and I still wasn't fully prepared. And, of course, that didn't mean that he didn't climb the mountain, but he realized there's nothing like being in the midst of it. You can read, you can plan, and then things happen. The other thing that he talked about was the fact that he had prepared for the physical exertion.
Right.
What he hadn't expected was the actual emotional challenge that he faced, the emotional and psychological challenge of climbing that mountain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the weather got bad and you know, the oxygen changes and it becomes difficult to breathe. And he said it was actually an emotional challenge, too. And I think that's the other thing that we don't anticipate. When we step into this role, we anticipate that we'll have things to do.
Right.
But I don't know that we anticipate that emotional challenge that caregiving brings with it.
Absolutely. And speaking of emotional challenges, 2020, to put it in one word, we've just talked about caregiving and the reality and the unknowns and now let's go back to real life. All of us are dealing with a pandemic right now. Another question, Jane. For those caregivers who have been at home dealing with the pandemic, what advice do you have for them?
Well, again, JT, I don't have the magic wand. And I'm glad that we're in the warmer months now so that folks can at least get outside. But in thinking about this and reading
sunshine.
In thinking about this and reading articles about this and talking with caregivers who have been dealing with COVID-19, the biggest thing that I see them doing is kind of moving inward emotionally. Yes, we've had to move inward physically because of the threat of COVID-19. So we're staying home. We don't go out. You know, we're told not to get out. Now it's a little bit looser, but certainly wear your mask. I'm all about the masks. I believe the science. But anyway, sorry, that's my view.
No, that's okay.
But no, caregivers have tended to become even more shut off. And I strongly urge them to do whatever they can to get connected, to stay connected with the outside world, with other folks. If it's finding a group on Facebook, you know, AARP has a caregiver Facebook group. I know other disease-related organizations have those. If that's an outlet for you where you can reach out to other folks who are doing things similarly, if it's calling a helpline, We know the Alzheimer's Association has a helpline for other caregivers. Right. Actually, AARP has a caregiver support line. If it's calling a friend from church, if it's going out on your front porch and talking with the neighbor across the street, even if you can't walk over across the street, stay connected. I know it's challenge. It's totally challenging. But your emotional well-being, as we just talked about, is so important. And that's the thing that I worry about these caregivers. You know, whether they're with their loved one or not, I have several friends who have aging parents, and during the pandemic, you know, their parents live elsewhere, and we weren't supposed to travel, and we certainly didn't want to get on an airplane, or their family members were in long-term care, and when the visitation stopped, that is so challenging for caregivers.
Yes.
And again, we go back to that emotional toll, the fear, the anger, the frustration, the grief, that can be so challenging and can just really weigh you down. So I strongly urge these caregivers to make some sort of a connection. They can call you. They can go to my website, email me. But find someone to talk to. And you're going to have to be brave, because, again, if you've been in, you haven't been to church, you haven't talked to some friends, you haven't talked to some neighbors, so you hesitate to make that phone call.
Right.
Be brave and make that phone call. I need to talk to somebody. Yeah. I need to talk to another, you know, human being that's not the person that I care for. Heck, sometimes I felt like that. I needed to get away from my husband. He's perfectly fine, but he was getting the last nerve. It happens. So I strongly urge these caregivers to get connected or stay connected with someone.
Jane, I think you've covered this so well, but still staying on this subject, I spoke with a caregiver recently, and I was sharing tips and things we can try to incorporate right now. And a caregiver asked this to me, or said this to me, and I want to share it with you to see if you have any thoughts. Again, there's not a perfect answer here. So we talked about breathing and the proper use of YouTube sometimes, and limiting if you're going to look at news and all these things. And she said, "I'm just overwhelmed. So overwhelmed, I've hit my wall," I think she put it. "I don't even know where to start." So kind of steering back to you, Jane, any advice for if you're having that day where you think you're just hitting the wall, your nerves are frazzled, you feel like screaming, anything you would suggest?
Well, first thing I might suggest is go ahead and scream. If you feel like screaming, give a good scream. Sometimes that's just okay. You might warn people so you don't scare them to death. You know, give the scream, but you mentioned breathing, and I do want to go back to that, because I don't think we give that the due that it warrants. I had heard this for years. I had heard, you know, when you're stressed out, do some deep breathing.
Right.
I was one of those people that rolled my eyes. Right. I'm stressed to the max. I'm ready to jump off the bridge, and you're going to tell me to deep breathe, right?
Right.
And I want to share this personal story. I had been at the assisted living where my mother was at the time, and there had been some issue, and I really don't remember what it was now. Years later, I don't remember what it was, because it wasn't an earth-shattering, life-threatening issue, but it was something that upset me. Yeah. And, you know, one of the challenges we have as caregivers, if you think of our emotions on a scale, you know, and the average person is here. Caregivers already are usually about here, okay, on the scale. And then something small but disturbing happens, and you shoot right off the scale. And I was that way, and I got in my car, and I slammed that car door, and I was getting ready to start my car, and it hit me. I mean, my heart was pounding, and I was almost shaking. I was so upset, and it hit me. Wait a minute. I should not be this upset about that issue. And I guess I was hitting a wall. And so I said, "What the heck?" And I sat there in my car, and I just took that big deep breath through my nose. I counted a slow count of four. And I mean a deep breath, the kind where your tummy, you know, where you expand your diaphragm, you know, that deep down in your belly breath. And I took that breath, and I held it for a count of four, and then I slowly let it out. And I did that again, And I probably did it 4 or 5 times. And even as I was doing it, I could feel my body kind of calm down. It really soothed me a bit. It kind of brought me down, if you will. And, of course, because I'm a researcher, I did some research on it. Even though I'd been told it was a good thing, I did more research on it. And literally, physiologically, when you do that kind of deep breathing, it actually sends a message to your brain that tells your brain, calm down a bit. It actually sends some feel-good chemicals. Kind of the same thing as you've heard that runners get that runner's high when they run. It sends dopamine to your brain, which is the feel-good chemical. It sends little messages through your body to kind of calm down. It really will lower your blood pressure. It will kind of slow your heart rate. And it really did calm me, at least to the point where I could get a grip. So, again, if you're that person out there that rolls your eyes, the whole deep breathing thing, I was that person. And I found that it worked. And I use it all the time now. In many instances, it really does. Right. It really helps. And it sounds simple, but it really helps. And the other thing is, and I heard this from a wonderful woman who's a psychologist who shared this thought with me. Again, if you're at that point where you just, I can't take it anymore, stop a minute and think on a scale of 1 to 10 where your mood is. If 10 is super good and everything's going rosy and 1 is you're on the floor, where are you at that moment? Are you a 1? Are you a 2? Maybe you're 3. And if you could stop a minute and then say, what's one thing, because we don't have the magic wand, we can't make the whole situation go away, but what's the one thing I could do right now that could lift me? Let's say I've decided I'm a 2.
Okay.
What's the one thing I could do right now that would get me to a 3? Just lift me a little bit.
Just one step.
One step up. What that I could do right now, you know, in a perfect world, make this illness go away.
Right.
Give me lots of help. But what's one thing I could do right this minute? And one thing you could do right that minute might be, you know what? The chores aren't getting done today. I'm not making the beds. Mm-hmm. We're having breakfast or dinner. I'm not doing all that other stuff today. Maybe, and you know that I'm a proponent of when you're very stressed, you know, cut down on the caffeine. Don't eat the junk food. Eat the healthy food because it really does help you keep you going. But at that very moment, and I don't mean this to sound trite, but if that very moment a Hershey bar would get you from a 2 to 3, eat the Hershey bar. If a bowl of ice cream gets you from a 2 to 3, eat the ice cream. I'm serious.
Right.
If calling your sister who lives in California and saying I can't take this anymore it will lift you from a 2 to 3, do it. Don't worry about how that upsets your sister. Do it for you. But then if you can get yourself from a 2 to 3, maybe you can then think about what could get you from a 3 to 4. And 2 things have happened in that process. You have started thinking about yourself, not the situation. You have taken your mind away from COVID-19 and all the chores I've got to do and, you know, whatever it else it is that has put you at that too.
Right.
You've turned your mind away from that, and as you start to think about what can I do right now to raise my mood, see, that's a positive thought. And then having that one positive thought might help you get to another positive thought. And again, I'm not so naive as to think we can get you maybe from the 2 to 10, but if we can get you from the 2 to 3 and the 3 to 4, We have helped. It has helped you somewhat, and it has maybe gotten you up off the floor, if you will. And again, in these kinds of situations, sometimes that's all we can do, but it does help. It really does help. And so I hope folks will try it when they hit that wall. And I'm so sorry they hit that wall, but we've all been there. We have all, if we've all been there. And that's the other thing I want folks to understand. Well, you know, and that's with you and what you're doing, your website, these other organizations, you know, my website, they can email me. Folks need to know they're not alone. We have that tendency to feel like I'm the only one who feels this way. I'm the only one who can't cope. I'm the only one who's got this situation. And it's not so. You know, you're not alone. There are people who have walked this road and are willing to walk this road with you and understand. And sometimes that helps, just knowing you're not alone.
Absolutely. And I think we don't say that enough because, again, going back to new caregivers, two people talking from experience, many times that's the mindset, you're alone. No one else has had to hear that from, you know, my sister, or no one else would feel or do it that bad. I mean, so it's a strong message, and thank you for saying that, Jane, because I don't think, especially as coaches and care partners, we need to emphasize that. You really can't say that phrase enough. So thank you so much, Jane. This is just wonderful information. And I know there's so much more that you have that you can share with our care partners and talk about. So I'm going to put you on the spot here. I think this definitely needs to be a series. So how about we have you back on as a reoccurring guest throughout this season, and we can continue these valuable discussions.
That'd be great. I'd love that. I'd appreciate that, and I would love that.
Well, thank you so much, Jane. And again, her website is sandwichcaring.com, correct?
That's right.
And I know you can find great tips and advice and guidance and probably some of these stories that you've shared today. Thank you so much.
You're
so it looks like we're just out of time today. And for everyone out there, just a reminder, REMT is committed to helping care partners and caregivers learn, grow, and become aware of their inner strengths. We believe you are just as important as the person for whom you care, and we are here to help both of you. And remember, you're not alone. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye. Thank you again, Jay.
Thanks.